Hi, I'm Greg Hughes with Run As Radio, the weekly IT talk show podcast for IT professionals. I'm here at TechEd USA 2008 IT Week in the Fishbowl at TechEd Online, and I have a few guests with me today. And we're going to talk today about threat modeling, which is a really important topic. But before we get started, why don't you just introduce yourselves briefly so that we all know who you are.
My name is Tim Bate, and I'm a consultant with Microsoft.
Jeff Inglesby, I work at Ford Motor Company.
Hi, Jeff.
Lou Kunamatsu, also from Ford Motor Company.
Hi, Lou. And thanks for joining us today. I know it's the end of the day, and it's been a long day today, but this is a really important topic, threat modeling. So we have Ford Motor Company. We have Microsoft Consulting Services represented here. What's the relationship to start with?
Well, Ford wanted to increase the efficiency at which they detect and correct potential problems with their in-house software for their business line of business applications. Microsoft's been doing this internally for a few years now. So Ford asked that I come in and teach them how Microsoft does it currently.
And probably a good place to start is just to ask the simple question, which is, what is threat modeling?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Threat modeling is a process by which you identify assets that are important to you. Those might be software, those might be data. then you look at the pieces of those things that are important to you, and you identify threats to confidentiality, integrity, and availability, and work through those threats, ranking them with the business partners that are there, and then rating them, and identifying what you're going to do about them.
I think one of the advantages of it, it's a security assessment method that allows you to identify those threats earlier in the design, earlier in the system lifecycle.
Right.
So by doing that, you can avoid that rework of other forms of security assessment like pen testing, things like that, where you have to actually build something, break it, and then to identify where it's vulnerable.
Gotcha. Now, I mean, I've had a lot of experience in the threat modeling process, and I know I've seen the value in it. I don't think you would be here if you hadn't also seen the value in it. Clearly, it's a real good thing. So classically, isn't a lot of, whether it's software or any other process where you have to do threat modeling, a lot of the times, isn't security has sort of been more of a milestone event along the way throughout some kind of a life cycle, right? So if we're developing software, then maybe it's, you know, well, we need to have a code review here and somebody needs to sign off there. But it hasn't really been classically involved in everything that we do. Threat modeling, doesn't it really sort of take you in a different direction?
Yeah, it really does. It moves you much farther forward, as Lou was saying, in the development life cycle than you've ever been able to be before. And it looks at things from a holistic standpoint. And the methodology that we've employed has the ability to be very repeatable and very structured, so that even if you're doing it across multiple generations of a product or multiple generations of people doing the product work, you can come up with very similar results that are meaningful in the long term.
So how do you do that?
Well, we conduct a series of structured interviews, basically, with the subject matter experts that, as Jeff was pointing out earlier, we go through, you know, what are the valuable portions of your that you're trying to protect. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what components are you using in your system? What pieces of data are in your system? And, you know, then we go through a series of picture drawing, if you will, that makes it look, we draw the picture of what your process looks like. And then from there, we can start generating threats for each one of the steps that are in your process.
If I could jump back a little further,
sure.
It really starts with understanding the objective of what you're trying to do, because that plays a huge role in the risk assessment. Things that will impact your objectives clearly are higher risk, and that's where it starts. Then you get into constructing the model, as Tim and Jeff have talked about, identifying the threats and assessing the risk of those.
And risk assessment is a key critical concept, especially in this day and age, right, doing risk assessment. Is it probably also worth pointing out that, you know, when we're talking about a life cycle, we're not talking about a risk assessment as a single event, are we? We're talking about an ongoing, continuous process.
Yes. The goal is to do it throughout the life cycle. The good thing, as I mentioned earlier, is you could start very early, much sooner than you could with a traditional security assessment like Lou was mentioning. But it's also a living document that needs to be updated as not only as you go into production with the first release, but throughout, you know, the subsequent changes and any enhancements.
So how early in the process are we talking about? Are we talking all the way at the very first first design, or what?
Design is typically where you'd like to do it, because you have something in place with a target that you can look at, right? You can do it early in the design phase, which we've done before and we're doing right now. Then the discussion tends to lead towards how would I design it? Or we're going down this road in our design. Let's talk about that scenario.
It's also very process focused. You have to have an idea of your roles and the functions that they will be performing in order to construct that model. So if you've got your preliminary design and you understand basic usage scenarios, how the roles will interact with the components and the data, that's the optimum time to start your threat model.
And the key there is that we have to look at the components. And typically in the requirements phase, you wouldn't have components yet. You might have roles, you might have data, and you might have use cases.
Right.
But you won't have your components until you start the design phase.
Gotcha.
And it's interesting to note that when we talk about doing threat models, we're talking about a design life cycle from an application perspective, but there's nothing that stops you from doing this in a business process.
Oh, sure.
So you're looking at it from a business risk process as opposed to just, you know, what's the threats that my application would have. And if you want to take it a step back farther even than that, if you're looking at it from a business perspective, you can look at the real risks to your underlying business assets, and that can be then translated later into what the threats to your application that support that business process are.
Gotcha. So let's talk about benefits then. You all have implemented and have been doing this for how long?
We've been doing it for about, I've been working the project for about 2 years.
For about 2 years. So certainly you must have seen some change that's come about, or different ways that you've actually managed the way that you do business on a day-to-day basis.
We've got a lot of support from our management on this approach. They're very enthusiastic about it. I think one of the key benefits is we're coming out of an environment where we were very policy-based. You must follow all these policies, right. And we had a very large policy document. What this allows you to do is really prioritize based upon your risk. So you can prioritize your mitigations, and you can do your mitigation planning in a prioritized manner,
sure. And
you can figure out what's important, what needs to be funded, and be done first.
So leverage it as a living document, if you will, part of that risk management life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead. It's really a proactive approach, because threat modeling allows us to take control of our own destiny, basically.
Sure.
And allows us to say, we're going to get ahead of these problems before they ever become, get into the code. So it's a way of us being proactive and not necessarily finding things at the very end of the process, where it's much more expensive to fix them, it's much more expensive to mitigate them, and we may have breaches.
And we found that there's benefit, sometimes tremendous benefit, just by going through the exercise of the structured interviews that I was mentioning earlier.
Right.
And we like to call them aha moments, because as you get everybody that's involved and has a stake in the process into a room.
And everybody, right? We're not just talking about just security people or
absolutely.
Business
we're
owners.
We're talking about business people. We're talking about IT people.
Right.
We're talking about security people, the entire spectrum. So when you get them all in a room and they all start hearing things for the first time, or at least the first time all together, you have a tendency, and we've seen it almost every single time we've done this, and we've done many dozens of these, that there is this aha moment that says, oh, I didn't think of that, or I didn't know that. So that in and of itself is benefit, even before we've come up with any specific threats.
And are all of the aha moments security related, or you find that as you're thinking about this together that there's other non-security benefits that come out of it as well?
Absolutely. There are times when it's mainly somebody learning how the system is designed for the first time, so it's not really anything to do with security.
Sure.
And another interesting thing that we need to mention is that when we talk about threats, we're not talking about somebody with the black hat on that's attacking my application.
Right.
We're talking about anything that could cause your application to do what it's anything other than what it's supposed to do. So you're designing this application or your process to do exactly what you want it to do.
Right.
And if it doesn't, that to us is a threat. It could be something as simple as somebody typing in their address incorrectly.
Sure.
In a field and it makes a mistake. If your application doesn't handle that correctly, that's a threat to us.
So really sort of we're starting to see the overlap between where security is a component of quality, overall quality. Does that sound about right?
Sure.
And it sounds like, if I'm going to do input validation for security reasons, I'm also going to be doing it for business reasons, for example.
Absolutely.
I need to be thinking about that kind of stuff.
And there's a discussion on the national stage that's really kind of brewing right now that says that security really is only quality. If you do things right, that you have a huge overlap with the security realm. And I would say that's probably true.
Sure, you want reliable products, reliable service delivery, and this type of analysis or assessment really supports that. You know, I'd like to jump back to something that Tim mentioned. One of the huge benefits is that this is a collaborative effort between the business, IT, security as well, and it really drives that alignment. A lot of times you have those types of miscommunications, but when you get everybody working together, you really end up with a much better work product. And it's mandatory that you have this type of participation, particularly from business.
Probably a great example of security as a business enabler, right? As opposed to, you know, sort of the classic old school, if you will, way of doing things where security and IT are the guys that say no all
Stop.
The time, right? But rather turn it into let's find a way to say yes.
Right, and it's very important, as Lou mentioned, that with the businesses involved, because only they can accept the risks or understand what the particular risks mean to them. A lot of times the IT people have a very IT-centric view of the world, and what risks we think are acceptable, the business doesn't. And so, the alignment across the entire spectrum from the business team to the IT team, and including the security, is a huge benefit.
Sure. So how did this engagement work? How does Microsoft interact with Ford in this relationship?
Well, in this particular case, we have a group of people in Redmond that created our internal version that we do. The MSIT does it every single application that Microsoft IT puts out for the rest of the company to use.
It's not just about software development, right?
No, exactly. Yeah. And so that Ford engaged that group to find somebody locally to them to teach them how we do it. That group also can do it for other people.
Sure. Great.
Right, and I joined the team after we engaged with Tim, and we fleshed out a repeatable process for handling the threat models. And it's worked pretty good so far. I know there are things we need to change, but that was one of the big things about it, that it was consistent. You could repeatedly apply the same methodology.
Well, again, the concept of a life cycle, right? If you have a life cycle, then you're going to be continually reviewing not just threats, but also how does your process work and what do you need to change in order to improve your threat model as well.
And one of the things that may not be really high, you know, but visibly, is that these sessions drive an awareness of risk and threats and vulnerabilities to the business and to other parts of IT. Sometimes it's difficult for everybody, you know, that's doing their jobs at different places in a company to get together and understand this kind of shared thing. And it really, the business really is eager to hear how these things could happen and how easily they could happen. And we're eager to hear that this is more important than that. You know?
Drive those business priorities.
There's this awareness that gets cascaded that it's very difficult to do when you're not all in a room kind of chatting and going through this process.
Have you found also that it tends to create a sense of empowerment and ownership of some of that security process really across the board?
Yeah, certainly when you make people aware of the threats that could be that their application or process could be subject to, and you make it very clear to them in a black and white document that says, you know, here's where your threats are.
And this is real.
And this is real. And you've taken them through the process of ranking those threats, you know, from highest to lowest. That's a very powerful piece of documentation.
In fact, the ownership piece, I think people have they understand the ownership piece. It's the awareness piece that really comes out in threat
but
modeling.
I suppose making people more aware sort of engenders that they know what to take ownership of at that point.
You mentioned a good thing, empowerment, because in every session it seems like if you watch, there's a progression. At first there's this kind of I don't understand what you're saying even, and then there's the okay, maybe I'm starting to get it, and then they actually internalize it and start actually. They can drive the discussion themselves, which
those,
is what we
another
want.
Another one of those aha kind of moments, right?
Basically.
Have you found, sort of a follow-up to that, have you found that it's difficult for non-security people, so say people that build software or design systems and what have you, to think like the bad guy?
I think the only time we found the most difficulty that we've had with that is when you start assessing the risk and assigning priorities and impacts. Most of the time people will say, well, that'll never happen.
Yeah.
So we have to get them past that hump that says, you're right, it may never really happen.
Right.
Or the probability is so remote that...
But if that one thing does happen...
But if it does happen...
That's a game-ending event, right?
Exactly. How bad could it be? And then they sit back and you can see, oh, man, that would be critical. That would, you know, our plant would go down and we'd be losing, you know, millions of dollars a day kind of thing.
Sure. Good. Well, so is there anything else that we should talk about before we finish today?
Well, one thing I think that we didn't talk about is how the purpose of this, right, is to begin a discussion with the business about threats and vulnerabilities and how to get past these. One of our experiences has been that this is not something that's broadcast. This is not something that's used for anything other than this team that gets together to do this.
Right.
And so they walk away with information that's valuable to them, but it's a positive thing and not a negative thing. We're not searching out threats that then we're going to go and wave, you know, to the CEO or CIO or anybody. This is for us to get together, work on an application or a system, and identify threats and get them resolved.
Right, not to assign blame or to punish.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But rather just to take every opportunity that's available to improve the business and improve the whether it's software or whatever
it
else.
It always happens that we have to get over that hump.
Right.
The first couple of sessions where we have to help them understand that we're really and truly here to solve a problem, not to beat somebody over the head with a threat or a vulnerability.
Yeah, the old adage, hi, I'm from security and I'm here to help. They actually, you know, through this process, they're, you know, everybody jokes about that and laughs about it at the beginning, but, you know, at the end of these things, they've seen the value and they actually believe that.
It's back to the theme of security as a business enabler, right? Drive the business.
You know, the one thing I would like to add is that this is a risk-based approach. It aligns with ISO 27001, 27002, and that is, we see a lot of growth in that area. That's something that's going to be coming up down the road.
Absolutely.
And this is, it's very supportive, aligns with that very nicely.
I have to echo that as somebody who is certified in an organization under ISO 27001, 27002. I think that this risk management is a key component. Really excited to see Ford Motor Company and Microsoft working together to do something that really is so important and fundamentally critical to building quality product and driving quality business. So congratulations to you for what you're doing. I think it's terrific.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure,
Greg.
Good.
And thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.